Begin the current daf, Masech the Baba Basra, daf Peivav. We begin four lines up in the bottom of daf Peihemed base, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, where the Gemara had the question regarding the Kelev Shalekech, regarding the utensils of the consumer, is it Kain B'Shus Moicha? We know that a person has to make an acquisition, a kinyan. One of the ways of being Kaina is if it's in your Rishus. You could do Meshicha, you could do Hagbah, you could do Mesira, many different ways of being Kaina. One of the ways of acquiring a movable item is if it enters into your domain. So if it goes into your actual property, fine, you've acquired it. What's the halacha if it's in your keli, which on some level is your domain, but it's not in your own property? It's actually b'shus of the meicher. Where if it's in the simta, okay, that's something which is you have partial rights to, so you could acquire it over there. But in the b'shus of the meicher, where it's not in your domain, it never left the seller's domain to go to the buyer, is that going to acquire or not? That was the question that was posed, and the Gemara continues trying to bring a raya to that question. So Amar Rabba, he says, Toshma, let's bring a raya from the following brisa, that the Kelev of the Lekech does not acquire in the Shus of the Meicher. Because the brisa says as follows, Toshma, Mashach Chamarav Upayalov. If the buyer draws near the donkey drivers or the workers of the seller, who's, okay guys, come bring it over here, and he starts dragging them, V'hechnisan Letech Beisa, and he brings them into his house, says the brisa as follows, Bain Pasek Achloi Madad. Whether they had already agreed upon the price, they know how much is being charged per amount, but there wasn't yet any measuring yet. So in such a type of situation, which is the first of the two cases of the Reisha, if they want to back out before they measure out exactly how much is being sold, they could back out. The reason for that is because there was no acquisition yet. There was no transfer of ownership from the seller to the buyer yet, because the buyer didn't yet do the kinyan meshicha on the produce at all, and it didn't enter into the domain of the lekech. Why? Because although he actually pulled the guy, so he did meshicha, and it's also in the rishus lekech, they entered into his property, it's not so. First of all, it's still on their shoulders. He didn't yet give them space to put it down into his domain. Now, the reason for that is how we know this, that they didn't even unload the packages yet into his property, is obvious from the seifa of the brisa, where there the brisa says, oh, pirkon, if it was unloaded, obviously the ratio that we're talking about over here, it wasn't yet unloaded into his property. All they did was that they entered into the property holding the boxes on their shoulders. Now, as it says, it just says that he pulled them and he brought them into his house. Now, that pulling was not the kin of Meshicha to acquire it by pulling, because what's he pulling? He's pulling the person. When he's pulling the person who's carrying the produce, that doesn't help to acquire the produce until you actually do Meshicha on the produce itself. So that's one case. Whether they had made a set amount, but they didn't yet measure, and specifically with measurement over here is the concept of not so much measuring, but that if he's measuring, it's going to go into his kalim. So they didn't do anything. All the guy brought in was his guys, the workers, and they still have it on their shoulder. Or, says the Bryce, another case, Ubein Madad, or whether they did measure. Now, that concept of measuring is not so much to know how much is being sold, because that they already agreed upon is just a matter of finding out how much is owed, because they know how much is the rate that they agreed upon, but it's that it was put down in his property already. They're measuring it out for him. So it's going into his bucket, into his basket, to the lekech's bucket. But, Achalei Pasak. So the first case was, if you did pesika, but you didn't do medida, and here it's someone, even if you did medida, you measured it out, it went into the lekech's kelim, but actually pasak, but they didn't agree upon the price yet. Oh, so that's what the Bryce is saying regarding both of these cases. If they want to back out, any one of them, before there was, and like in this case, of that there was a set price yet, they didn't agree upon the price, shnei michael nachzaben, both of them could still back out. Even though in this case it was already put in at the time that they were measuring it into the domain of the lekech, into the lekech's own buckets, still his rishus will not acquire for him because there wasn't yet an agreed upon price yet. And actually, even if the lekech would have done meshicha, but if they would not have agreed upon the price yet, it would not have helped, as the Gemara is going to say later on, because no one is confident yet and agreeable to the sale, neither the seller nor the consumer. The seller, because regarding the seller's part, he might want to increase the price of what he wants to sell. And the consumer might want to say, I'm only going to pay a fifth of what the value is. So no one's confident yet to agree upon it because they don't know how much the other one's going to want to say to buy or to sell for. Now, the Mishnah that actually taught this halacha of Mashach v'lei madad kana, that if the guy did Meshicha and did not do Medida is kaina, is talking, as Rashbam says, where they already agreed upon the set price before they did Meshicha. So then you don't need Medida, you did the kinyan through Meshicha, and they already agreed upon what the going rate was, so then they were confident going in. But regarding these two cases, says the Braisa, either because he didn't do any kinyan, even though they agreed upon the price, or he did a kinyan, it went into his rishus, but didn't agree upon the price. So either way, the sale was not finalized, and they could both back out. Continues the Braisa on the top of Peivav Amud Aleph. So let's say Pirkan. Let's say whether it was the seller or the buyer, whoever it was that unloaded the merchandise, v'chanisin l'teich beisai, and brought it into the house of the consumer, where now it's in the domain of the lekeach, now already there's going to be a difference. Now, although with that bringing the merchandise into his house, he has not yet acquired it, because as we said, they didn't yet set a price, but what it does help is that when they're going to set a price, then automatically that it's in his domain, because it's placed there, then it's going to work. So that's why the Braisa continues and says as follows. Pasak, so if after they unloaded the merchandise, so it's in his rishus already, they agree upon the price, then says the Braisa, even though actually mudded, even if they didn't yet measure it out, even so, the rishus lekech is going to acquire from him, and therefore ain't shnei michal nachzben, neither one of them can back out. Again, even though they didn't yet measure how much is being sold yet, because at the time that they set a price, his rishus, which is a kinyan, is automatically going to acquire from him, and you don't doesn't make a difference, and this is the point of what the Gemara is bringing this in for, is that although it's still in the kalim of the meicher, because all he did was unload the boxes, but it's still in the boxes of the meicher, that doesn't stop the rishus lekech being kainet. So, first of all, the main point that the Gemara is bringing this in for is that you see that a kli itself is not considered its own domain. It's considered secondary to the domain that it's in, which is going to be important for the other type of case. Here it's talking about the kalim of the meicher in the rishus lekech, but what we're trying to answer for is when the kalim of lekech is in the rishus of the meicher. So you can see that it doesn't work, because the keli is considered secondary to the rishus, just like we see in this case, that the keli of the meicher is secondary to the rishus lekech, and that it does work. Now, moreover, an incidental chiddush that the Braisa is telling us is that although that they didn't measure out yet how much is being sold, that's not a problem, as the Mishnah told us explicitly. If Meshicha was done, even though Medida was not done, that you did the kinyan of Meshicha, even though you didn't measure out, it's going to kaina, the reason for that is because you already set a set price. The measuring it out is only just revealing, okay, how much is it, but we know exactly what the sale is. Just the question is, how much for how much? One more thing the Rashbam addresses is that this is not comparable, which the Gemara is actually going to address on Amud Beis, to the case of when he wants to sell him only one kur, where the Gemara says later on Amud Beis that actually the measuring out of the kur is ma'akiv. If you didn't measure it out, it's not going to be a full sale, and they could back out even till the last saw. That the reason why it's going to withhold the validity of the sale is because that's all he wants to sell him as a full kur. And therefore the rishus is not going to be kind unless he sells him, which is selling the whole thing. That's why it's ma'akim. But in general, like in the case of this price, the medida is not an integral part, and since they agreed upon the price, they're both soy mechtas, and therefore, since it's already in his rishus, the rishus will be kind of him automatically. Now, continues the price, madad achaloi pasak. But let's say that he unloaded the merchandise into his house, and then he's measuring it out into his keli. Oh, how much do you want? But they didn't yet set a price. Oh, then there's no kinyan. As we said, because until there's a set price, no one's all totally into the sale. And therefore, shnei mechayil nachzbim, and therefore in that case, that until they set a price, both of them could back out. But again, when they set a price, then the kinyan is going to be automatically, because they're already going to be in the rishus of lekech. That was the braisa. And that says, Rava, umedikeliv demeichir rishus lekech lekan, this is what we alluded to before. From the fact that we see from the braisa that the keli of the meichir in the rishus of lekech is not going to be kind of, what's not going to be kind of? As Rashbam explains, that the meicher is not going to be kind of his merchandise, when they already agreed upon the price, that's in the rishus of the lekech. In other words, what it's saying essentially is, what do you mean kind of? He is the owner. It means to say that his own utensils of the seller will not withhold the domain of the lekech from acquiring it for the lekeach, as we learned in the Braisa. The Braisa said, if he unloaded the merchandise, and then upasak, they set a price, kana, then the domain of the lekeach will acquire from the merchandise. What we see is that his rishus is going to be kaina, even before they measured it out, meaning it wasn't yet poured from the meicher's containers into the lekeach's containers. So even though it's still in his sacks, still we see that, what's the concept we see from that halacha? That the rishus of the lekeach, since it's in his house, will make secondary the kalim of the meicher, and it's almost like it removed it from the rishus of the meicher into the rishus lekeach. So it says Rava, all the more so. So then when you have the keli of the consumer in the seller's domain, for sure the domain will nullify the kli of the lekech, not to take it out from the chazaka of who's the real owner, is the meicher, who is the muchzik of betilna, that loy kana, that is not going to acquire. We see that rishus is mevatel the kli. We don't view the kli as the primary. We view the larger area that it's in. So therefore, Rabbi says, a conclusive proof, that you see that the keli of lekech is not kind of rishus of the meicher. On that, Amr of Nachman by Yitzchak, he rejects the proof, and he says, actually, when the Brisa says the case of unloading, you know what unloading means, he says? It means b'sheshafchan. It doesn't mean the way Rav was reading it, that it was still in his boxes, and they just took it off his shoulders and put it down on the ground. It actually means that he unloaded, that he poured from his sack cloth, let's say that was still on his shoulder, and he poured it into the house of the consumer. Oh, where there you don't have any more kale of the meicher. That's why he says that the rishus lekech is going to be kind of. But maybe, if we're still in the meicher's boxes, then the rishus lekech would not acquire, which then I could say, not like Rav is trying to prove that, because the kale is not secondary to the rishus. And then you could say that the kale of lekech would be kind of the rishus of the meicher. So the Gemara tells us that ikbid Rava. Rava took affront because he was the one that said this tashma. He was trying to bring a proof, which Rav Nachum Yitzchak was trying to reject. So he said to the one who was trying to reject his proof, Midi Shafkun Ketani, what are the words of the Braisa that he poured it out? Pirkun Ketani, the words are that he unloaded, which sounds like as they are, the boxes, all he did was unload them from his shoulder and put onto the ground. That's how people unload. Where do you get, explaining to reject my proof, that it means, oh, that he poured it out. And therefore, Rabbi wanted to say his proof is still valid. So Elam Amar Baravashi, rather he gave a different interpretation to reject Rabbi's proof. He says, B'mis'ach ledutumi. You're right. All he did was unload what he was carrying, but we're talking about bundles of garlic which don't have sacks. In other words, they're not in, and they don't bring it in kalim. When you bring it on the donkey load and you're unloading, you carry them individually and on a bundle on your shoulder, or you're on your donkey and you put it down on the ground. So therefore, yes, that would still reject Rava's proof, because all it is unloading is not pouring out, but there's no kalim. And that's why the Rishus Lekech is in the kind of, but it's no raya that if it was in the Keli of the Meicher, that it would still be Kaina, and therefore you could still say that the Keli of Lekech would acquire in the Rishus of the Meicher. Now, parenthetically, the Gemara asks, once we introduced this Brice, we said, okay, this is no Raya, we didn't conclusively answer that question that the Gemara had brought in the previous daf, if the Keli of Lekech is Kaina Rishus Meicher. Now the Gemara asks, Amli Huna Bereidim Arzut Ravini, says Mechti, let's see. Regarding this Brice that was introduced by Rava to attempt to bring a proof, Pirkun Ketani, we learned that if it was unloaded, however you interpret that, but it was put into the Rishus Lekech. So he said that his Rishus will acquire from immediately, from the moment that the seller agrees to sell to him, as we learned in the daf in the previous, Bryce in the previous daf. We said from the moment that he agrees to sell it to him, said that Bryce, so once it goes into the Rishus Lekech, so it's sold to him. So on that asked the Gemara, Mali Pasek and Mali Loi Pasek, which was a question that we were always going with, that we were addressing between the lines. So now why is it necessary for them to have made up a set price? He did the kidney already. Who cares if they decide how much is going to be paid? On that, Ravina responded. He says, look, Pasak, if they set a price, some chadaite, then either party is confident, and they're, when they're doing the Maisa kinyan, it's also a Gemar kinyan. In other words, they're agreeing. The act of the kinyan is only because you're intending to do a kinyan. Only if you know the set price are you agreeing to go into that venture. Loi pasik, if they didn't set a price, even if it's like he has the kinyan because it's in his rishus, loi sam chadaite, he's not confident. Because who said that the sale is going to be valid? Maybe the seller is going to want to charge an exorbitant amount of money, or maybe the buyer is going to want to totally cut him down to the price. And therefore, as long as the price was not set, it's not going to be a valid kinyan, and that's why you have to have the element of pasak, even if you have pirkan, even though it's already in the rishus lekech, you got to have pasak too. Now, Amla Avinu Ravashi, he continues for that question that we have in the previous daf regarding if Caleb Shalekech is kind of Shos Meicher. The Gemara attempts one more proof. Tashima. The Gemara says, come in here from actually Derav Shmuel Damar Tavaya, that they themselves had both said, which was this actual case, which seemingly we could bring a right from their statements, what's this halacha? They both said, Caleb Shal Adam Kain Lebuchal Makam, a person's utensils acquires from wherever he is. Except they said Rishos Rab. So says the Gemara, Lasu Yimai, when it says wherever he is coming to acquire, what's that coming to include? Lav lasuy rishus moicher. Isn't it coming to say that, oh, even in the domain of the seller, and that's what it's saying, oh, everywhere besides it's just a rabbi? So that would answer the question? That's what the Gemara, no. You're right. Obviously, if they're only excluding rishus rabbi, they're saying that the keli of lekeach could acquire in the rishus of the moicher. But Hasim over there, Rav Shmuel was talking about the amar le, where the seller is telling the lekeach, let's say it's in his property, let's say it's in his store, and he tells him, zil kani, I go ahead, I want you to acquire what you're buying from me in your bucket, in your basket that you're holding. So that, essentially, you would consider in halacha as if the seller lent him the space of where his keli is. So of course there, says the Gemara, that Rav Shmuel are saying that then it would work. Our whole question that we had posed in the previous daf was when he doesn't say that, when it was unspecified, but then the buyer is putting the stuff in his bucket, and he already made up a price, would that be kind? And that was our question, where the seller there is not renting him the space. That was a question, and that's something that's not resolved, and therefore the Gemara didn't answer that question. Now the Gemara continues, which will relate back to the halacha of our Mishnah and the price that we mentioned before. It's not chasam. We learned over there in the Mishnah in the first Perek Masechtas Kedushin that says as follows. Nachasim sheyesh lehen amacharayis, regarding properties that have liability to them, meaning that there's always a way to, they last forever, which is a reference to land, basically, which something that you can't steal or hide or lose. It's always there. So that's the term that's used for basically karka. So the halacha is they're acquired in one of three ways. Nikn bekesef, they could be acquired with money, let's say when someone gives money to somebody. Or bishtar, or if let's say he writes for him a document saying, my field is sold to you or given to you, and he gives him the document, that document acquires for him the field. Or b'chazaka, or by making a ma'isa chazaka, where he goes, either he closes the door, he puts up a fence, he breaches the fence, where the Gemara there learns out in Kedushin from Sukkim, how do you know these halachas? Well, that's one of three ways to acquire karka. Now, b'she'en le machrayas, regarding items that don't have liability to them, meaning like movable items which could be lost, so there, ein niknin ela b'meshicha, says the Mishnah. So the acquisition is only by Meshicha, meaning that he draws it, he pulls it, what's called schlepping, to his property or to at least a property that he has a portion in that right. For example, like we've said in the previous daf of Simta, which is a street off the main thoroughfare that people are allowed to put their stuff down, although he doesn't own totally that area, or a shared courtyard, where, says Rashbam, although the Mishnah there is saying that he could only acquire with Meshicha, he says, for sure, but it could work with Hagbah, with picking it up, because that we've said previously that Hagbah is kind of a chamakim, lifting up, acquires with everything wherever you are, and therefore, because the reason for that is because when you lift it up, you're like putting it into your own property, even without Meshicha, so therefore, yeah, of course it would, but it's saying primarily it's with Meshicha. Now, the Gemara continues, it says that Besura, in the place Surah, Masnu la lahosh maita, they taught the following teaching that we're going to quote, they said it Mishmedra of Chizda. Now, Pambadis, in another place, Masnun lo Mishmeid Rav Kahana, they said it in the name of a different memory, that of Rav Kahana. Vamrila, and some say it was actually Mishmeid Rav in the name of Rav, that lo yishanu. We didn't learn this halacha of this Mishnah Masechta, this Kedushin. Ela devarim shein darchan lagbiya, only if it's stuff, that it's not normal for a person to lift them up, and that way be kaina it, because they're very heavy. That's what we said, so the kinyan of these movable items are with Mashiach. But regarding things that it's normal to pick them up because they're very light things, then the halacha actually is in b'mashichalai. Then actually you could only acquire those matatlan with lifting it up and not by doing mashicha and not by drawing it. That was the halacha that they said. Now Yosef Abai v'kama lo shmaita. Abai was sitting. He was saying over that teaching that they qualified that Mishnah that said, although we said matatlan is with mashicha, but if it's light things, then the normal way, and that's actually one of the ways of that we actually define kinyanim is what's normal. As we said in previous dafim, Mesiri and Rishos HaRabim, because that was heavy things, that's Rishos HaRabim, Meshicha is with Metatlin, but things that are normal to be lifted up because they're light, so then the Kenyan is with Hagbah, which is lifting it up. Now, Esver of Adabar Masna Labaya, so Rav Adabar Masna heard this teaching from Abaya, and he asked on him from the following Brisa. Brisa says, Hagoyin of Kis B'Shabbos, if someone steals a wallet, a purse on Shabbos, and he takes it from someone's property, out into the street, into Rishos HaRabim. So says the Braisa, Chayiv, the thief, is liable for the payment for what he stole. Now, what's the chiddush? Of course, you got to pay for what you stole. Is that you're not going to say in this situation, in contrast to the next case that the Braisa is going to quote, you're not going to say the halacha concept of kam le bedirab mineh, which is that you only get, when someone does a violation that has two punishments, you only get the greater of the two punishments. Now, the reason why here you're gonna have to pay the payment, even though there's also a liability of death for Chilul Shabbos. So the lower payment, the lower punishment of payment should not be liable. Here it's not true. Here you're not actually getting two punishments for the same act. Why? Because the liability of the theft, meaning to have to pay, was from the moment that he lifted up that item, because the moment that he picked it up in that victim's property, that lifting up is the kinyan of Agbah. He already was acquired a den, which is the kinyan of Geneva, and became liable to pay back at that moment, which was Kaidim Shayavu, the Isser Shabbos, which was before he violated Shabbos. And because the Isser Shabbos was only when he did the Malach of Itzah, which was when he took it out of his property into Rosh Hashanah. So therefore they came at different times, and therefore he'll be liable for both. But, says the Braisa, Hayim Megarer, but if he was dragging it on the ground, the Yoytze, and that's how he left and took it out of the property. And Megarer Yoytze kept on dragging it and taking it out, where there he never did Hagbah, he never lifted it up. So therefore he was only acquiring it by Shin Rishus, when he changed the domain from the victim's property to somewhere else, when he took it to his own property. Oh, there says the Braisa Pata, then he's going to be exempt from payment for what he stole, because of what's called Kam Le Bedramne. You only get the greater of the two punishments, as the Pasuk says in Devarim Chafei, Kidei Rishasai. You get, according to his, in the singular, wickedness, meaning you will only make him liable for one wickedness and not for two wickednesses. And the reason is, Shari Isser Shabbos Egeneva Boin Ke'echad, because here the liabilities are all both happening from the same act. Because at the moment when he took it outside is when he was acquiring it, because it left the victim's domain and it went somewhere else. And at that moment when he did the Isser Shabbos of taking it from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, and therefore he's Chayav Skila, which is the greater of the two punishments and not the monetary penalty. Now, actually, Rashbam brings that in Ksubis, Perek Elinaris, they ask on this, that, wait a second, when he did Mashiach, when he pulled it out of his property, where did he take it to? Because if one would learn it as or simply, which that he took it from the Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, the problem is, then you have the Isser Shabbos, because you did Haitzah, which is from a private domain to a public domain, but actually then you didn't violate Geneva. Because there's no Kinyan in Geneva, as we've been saying, of having Mashiach in Rosh Hashanah, it doesn't work in Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara there explains that it's actually Toma when he took it out of his property, he put his hand less than 3 tefachim from the ground and then slipped it into his hand. Now, a person's hand is considered like an area of dalet al dalet, which is like his own domain and could acquire for him. And his hands are not considered secondary to the shasram, and therefore he acquires. And moreover, there's also Isser Shabbos, because you took from one domain to another domain, and therefore they're happening at the same time. Now, that kinyan, it's not because he lifted it up, rather because he did Mashiach, where he drew it from that person's domain into his hand, because his hand was within 3 tefachim from the ground. Moreover, Rashbam brings that some explain that there's somewhat what's called Sidi Rosh Hashanah, the sides of Rosh Hashanah, where regarding Geneva, that's going to be a kinyan, as we said, similar to the halach of Simta, but regarding Shabbos, it's still not considered like not like a caramelist, it would still be considered like Rosh Hashanah, like Rabbi Eliezer, who holds Sidi Rosh Hashanah is like Rosh Hashanah. That's how he could have the case. But either way, says the Gemara as follows. This was the question of Adba Masna asked Abaye of Arikis, but regarding a purse, a wallet, Dibahagbahu, that's something that could be picked up. It's a very light thing. And even so, we said that if not for the Isser Shabbos that he had committed when he was pulling it out, the halacha was that Kani b'Mashiach, he would have acquired it at the time when he pulled it out. For example, when he's schlepping, and let's say during the weekday, he would be chayav for the Geneva. But how exactly? What type of kinyan of Gezela did he do? Mashiach? But you said something that could be lifted up, you cannot acquire with Mashiach. So Malay, so Abaye answered, he says, Bimisna. We're talking about a purse that has a strap. Those are the words Abaye said. Now, Rav Ada thought, but okay, there's a strap, but it's still a small purse. And therefore he wondered, what's Abaye answering? He said, Ananami Bimisna coming. He says, I'm also talking about a case that there's a strap, even so that there's a strap, but it's still very light and you could pick it up. So how are you coming with Mashiach? That's what Abaye clarified. He said, no, b'midi d'bayim misna. He said, I'm talking to you that the case of there is talking about that it's something that needs a strap because it's a very large purse. As Rabbeinu Gershom says, that a person can't lift it up. That's why they actually tie a rope or a strap, and that's how you could drag it. And that's what the case says, Tumah, when there was Megar V'yaytze, that's why the Geneva is happening at the same time as the Isser Shabbos, where there would be a Kinyan of Geneva, and you just exempt because of Kim L'Rabbani, because you don't usually lift it up, because it is heavy, and that's why the Kinyan Mashiach works. But you're right, if you could do Hagbah, then you wouldn't be able to be kind with Mashiach. So the Gemara continues trying to bring a Raya regarding this Halacha. Toshma, which brings us back to the Braisa we had mentioned previously. The Braisa said, Rishus Meicher, if it's in the domain of the seller. Loikana, we spoke about different types of, four types of properties of what's considered that Lekeach could be Kaina. So we said when it's in the domain of the seller, Loikana, the buyer will not be able to acquire it, Achik Biyana, either until he lifts it up, or until he takes it out from the property of the seller, which that's Meshicha, which is pulling it out. So says the Gemara, Almut, so you see that Midi de Bahagba, something which could be lifted, meaning that something that's very light, obviously, because it's saying either pick it up, which is a Kenyan, or take it out, which is Meshicha. So you see that although we're talking about something that can be lifted up, which is a light thing, we see that if you want to, you could be kind of with Hagbah. You see that you do have the prerogative, you do have the choice of doing Meshicha, not like the way you said. You said if you could do Hagbah, you cannot be kind of with Meshicha. So Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, he answers, no, it's Dodin Ketani. It's talking about two different sides, two different types of cases. Although it says that, yes, until he does either Hagbah or Meshicha, it's talking about two different cases. Meaning, when it's an Rishus HaMeicher, you cannot be a Kaina in certain ways. You have certain limitations, like let's say, possibly in the Kelim of the Lekeach. But it's saying, Midi de Bar Hagbah, Bahagbah. Yeah, those are two options. If it's a light thing, which is normally lifted up, that's when the Halacha is saying in the Braisa, then you'll be a Kaina with Hagbah. Midi de Bar Meshicha, B'Meshicha, something that's usually pulled, because it's heavy, then you'll only acquire it when you do Meshicha, which is what the Braisa meant when it says, Oya Shetziana, or until you take it out. But it's not that they're both talking about the same type of case. You're right. If you can do Hagbah, then you cannot be Kaina with Meshicha. Now, however, the Rashbam does say that it appears to him that the Gemara could have answered that here we're talking about something that is usually pulled, which it is a heavy thing. But the Braisa is still saying if he wants to, he could be Kaina with Hagbah. Because Hagbah is still a better kinyan than Meshicha, which, as we said, it acquires with anything wherever you are. So yes, in that case, the Braisa is saying, if he wants to, he could be kind of with Meshicha, because it's normal for everything to pull and to schlep and to drag. And it's just that, if you want to, this says the Braisa, you have an option of doing both, where you could do Hagbah, and you don't have to do Meshicha. But it's told something that's usually done Meshicha, and therefore it would work even with Meshicha. But again, the Gemara still gave this answer that's saying Litzdadin, which is also a viable answer, where it's told two different things. And therefore, when you're doing Hagbah, then it's Hagbah, something that's heavy, then you do Meshicha for. Now, to continue to Amad Beis, the Gemara says, Toshima, so let's bring a riot regarding this halacha from our Mishnah. Regarding this question, if something that could be kanye with Hagbah, if then you cannot be kanye with Meshicha. So the Mishnah said, HaMeicha Peris L'chaveri, if someone sold produce to his friend, if he did a kinyan of Meshicha, which is doing the act of drawing, even though he didn't measure it, he's going to be kaina. Says the Gemara, now, v'ha peiris, fruits, produce, the b'nei hagba ninu, these are things that are very light, that could be lifted up, where it sounds like that the Mishnah is talking about what's called shlifi zutri, small bundles which could be lifted up. Now, actually, Rashbam says that, not just because we're assuming like that, because actually, if one learns the Mishnah, it sounds like that exactly is the case. Why is that? So Rashbam goes through a lengthy explanation of this. It says the next case of the Mishnah, the Sefer, when it talks about flax, seems to indicate that the case of peiros is talking about light loads. Because the Mishnah says as follows. The Mishnah says if someone sells peiros, if he does, like the Gemara's quoting, if he does Meshicha, even though he didn't do Medida, he's going to be kainet. Now, what it sounds like is that whenever you do Meshicha, it's going to help by peiros. Why is that? Must be because it's something that's very little. Now, what that means to say is any type of Meshicha, meaning even if you move it just a little bit, what you did is, since it's a small thing, you already moved it from its original place. The concept, the understanding of the kinyan of Meshicha is that you removed it from where it originally was. It was by him, now it's by you. Which is like Shmuel's concept that he says, we had this on the Ayin Hamad Beis regarding the kinyan of a boat. Which Shmuel said clearly, the boat cannot have just moved a little bit. The space that it took up, it has to have been removed from its space to a whole new space. So therefore, by peiros, where it sounds like as long as you move it a little bit, you did a little Meshicha, you're kind of it, obviously it's Toma because it's a very small thing. You move it a little bit, you already moved it from its space. In contrast, now we could understand, and that's why this is the Gemara's assumption, when someone sells flax, which is long, even if it's a small bundle, still, you're not going to be kaina with just doing a small Meshicha. The reason for that is because if you move it just a little bit, you didn't remove it from the space that it was up until now, until you totally remove it from the space that it took up, until a whole new place. In other words, and this is how Rashbam explains the Gemara's Havamina, is that when the Mishnah said regarding flax, that there it's only if you do Meshicho or you lift it up to another place, meaning Achik Be'en, when it talks about by the kin of Pishtan, it doesn't mean that until you lift it up. It's just saying because you can't just do a small Meshicha like you could do by regular Peres, you got to actually move it to a whole new space to remove it from where it originally was. Because again, as Rashbam explains a bit more, he says, because you could even say that Rav, who disagrees with Shmuel over there by the kin of Bod, where he says, no, it doesn't have to remove totally from the space that it took up. You could move it just a little bit and you're cutting to the Bod. Here says Rashbam that Rav would agree because over there by the boat, you had water beneath it. So when you move the boat a little bit, it's like you already removed it from the space that it was up until now. But when something's on the ground, Rav would agree by the Pishtan, it's not enough just to move it just a little bit. You have to totally move it from the space that it is. So then why by Peres, where it's saying that you could just do Meshicha, it doesn't say like by flax that, oh, you got to do Hagbah, which again, Rashbam is interpreting meaning a full movement away. Why does it say just a small Meshicha? Obviously, because we're talking about small bundles. We're moving it a little bit, already moved that one fruit, that one pre from where it originally was. So that's the continuation of the Gemara's question. If that's the case, that we're talking about in the Mishnah of Peiris, which are things that could be lifted up, meaning because they're very small. How do we know they're small bundles? As we said, because even when it says the Meshicha, it means even a small amount of Meshicha. Yet, v'katani dekana b'meshicha, yet we learned, even if it's something that's light enough to be lifted up, we said that you could be kind with Meshicha, which refutes the interpretation that was said before, where it says that if you could do Hagbah, then you cannot be kind with Meshicha. Says the Gemara, no. What are we talking about in the Mishnah? Bishlifi Ravarvi. It's talking about that it's large bundles of Peiris, where again, it's not something that is normally picked up because it's very heavy. And that's why you come with Meshicha. No. So now the Rashbam has to reinterpret the Mishnah. So how do we understand then, didn't we prove that the Mishnah must be talking about small bundles, and that's why we had the question, how are we saying it's large bundles? So actually, the differential that the Mishnah is giving between Peiris and Pishtan, the flax, is because that this that we said you do Meshicha on Peiris, is the Mishnah is telling us that sometimes that if you do Meshicha, you're kaina. For example, you're right, sometimes you can't. When it's small bundles, then you got to do Agbah, like the Gemara is answering. But the Mishnah is saying when it says that Peiris are with Meshicha, means sometimes it's with Meshicha, like our Gemara is saying, what case is that? When they're Shlifi Ravavi, when they're large bundles. We're there for sure, Meshicha is going to work, and like Rashbam holds, and of course, Agbah will also work. But that's what the Mishnah says, but if you're selling flags, where there it's not possible to be large bundles, as Igmo will explain later on, because you can't make flax large bundles. Rather, they always must be small bundles. That's why the Mishnah says you're not going to acquire it until, like the words in the Mishnah are, she'el teltelenem imokum lemokum, that you move it from place to place. Now the way the Rashbam learns those words, not like the way he said it before, that it means totally removing it from its space. Rather, that he interprets now as Hagbah, and not Meshicha, like we said before. Why? The reason why, when the words in the Mishnah, when it says to move it from place to place, means Hagbah, because generally when people do the Hakin of Hagbah on what they're buying, they only pick it up with the intention of then taking it to the place where they're taking it to, where they're going back home and taking it to their property. That's why the wording in the Mishnah, when it says, oh, by Pishon you have to be Metatel Makom Makom, it really means the Kinyan of Hagbah. So that's what the Gemara is answering right now, why it's not difficult, that yeah, Peiris is with Meshicha because they're my heavy bundles. But then the Gemara asks, but ihachi im seifa. But if that's the case, look at the seifa, which is the case we were just quoting before in the Rashbam. The Mishnah says, halikeach pishtan mechaver. If someone buys flax from his friend, loikane has not acquired it, ad sheel tetelenu mimokum zeh lemokum ach, until he moves it from this space to another place. Now, as Rashbam explains the questioner's logic, the questioner is saying, according to me, it's very well understood the Mishnah's difference here in the case of Pishtan. Because I'm explaining it, even if these cases of Peiris and Pishtan are small bundles, where we said that, yeah, even though it's small bundles, and that's what the questioner is asking, you see that, yeah, small bundles, even though you could pick it up, you could do Meshicha. Meaning, not like on the one who's asking the question, who said, no, if you could do Agbah, you can't do Meshicha. The questioner is saying, look, if you say like me, that small bundles, even though you could pick it up, you could do Meshicha. Well, so it still makes sense now. The Mishnah, the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa, which is, as we explained, when you're doing just a small Meshicha, that is, since it's a small bundle, by Peiris, just to move it a little bit, you already moved it from its place. Flax, which is very long, if you move it just a little bit, that doesn't help. So that's why the Mishnah uses the words, which means, see, you got to totally remove it from its place.
But according to you, that you're explaining even the ratio, that has to be talking about large, long bundles. So then, what's the difference then between peiros and pishtun? The only difference could be that in the ratio, the reason why mashicha works is because they're usually made in the by the large bundles, which is what you do is you do mashicha. By pishtun, it doesn't help mashicha. It only helps hagbah. Why? Because they don't make large bundles. They only make small bundles. That would be the only way you'd be able to interpret why there you have to do hagbah and you can't do mashicha, according to your opinion that when you can do hagbah, you can't do mashicha. But that's what the question is asking. I'll do pishtun, bishlifi, ravavi, milo, avdi. What do you think? That by flax, they don't make large bundles the way they make large bundles by peiros? And if that's the case, so then mashicha should work by pishtun, just like it works by the case of peiros. You just described that the case of peiros is talking about large bundles. So then similarly, the parallel of the next case would be talking about also large bundles of flax. If it's large, then it's the same thing. Mashicha should work. Why does it say a different terminology, which according to you would mean doing hagbah, but why? Because it's small? Why is it small? What, they don't make large bundles of flax? That the Gemara answers, no, you're right. Shani pishtun de mishtamet. No, flax is different because it's slippery. So there's two different interpretations in Rashbam. Either that means to say, so therefore they cannot make large bundles of flax, because if you made it too big, it would just all slip out. So since they're only small bundles, then yes, that's why the Mishnah uses a different terminology. You got to do hagbah, because that's the way that you usually kind of would pishtun, because it's usually small. Or he brings from Rabbeinu Chananel, that this that flax is different, that it's slippery, is that since if you're going to do mashicha, yeah, maybe even you can make large bundles. But if you're going to do it, then it's you can't draw it. You can't do mashicha because it's slippery. And if it's not normal to do mashicha, and therefore that's why you kind of with tiltel, with a different type of kinyan, to go ahead and whatever do hagbah. But that's why it doesn't say the same terminology, because to do mashicha, just a schlep, doesn't work by flax. And therefore, it's not difficult on this opinion that we brought, that regarding, yes, if you can do hagbah, then you can't do mashicha. And here, what we're saying by mashicha, by the peiros, we're talking about large bundles, which by flax, you don't make large bundles. So Amalei Ravina Ravash, he says, Toshima, continuing on this theme, he says, come, let's bring a raya from the Mishnah in the first pack of Masechta Kedushin, which is difficult on the opinion that we just mentioned before from the opinion of the Rabbanan brought here in that Mishnah. Mishnah says, Behema gasa niknes b'mesira, large animal, let's say a cow, is acquired by handing over. V'hadaka b'agba, a small livestock, small animal, is acquired by lifting it up. That's divrei meirav shimon lazer. V'chachama imrim, they say, no, behema daka is b'meshicha. A small animal is acquired by pulling it, by drawing it. That asked the Gemara, v'behema daka debar hagbahi, as we see from the opinion of the first Tanoim. A small animal is something that is light, that could be lifted up. And yet, yet we see the Chacham say you could acquire with Mashicha, which is not like you said. You said something that can be lifted up cannot be acquired with Mashicha. The Gemara says, no, shana behema desarcha. An animal is different because it digs its feet into the ground. And therefore, it's not really possible to lift it up unless with great difficulty. So therefore, actually, the normative kinyan of an animal is to schlep it. To schlep, you can do it, but to pick it up, it's very hard because it digs in, and therefore, yes, although it's light, but still not the normal practice to lift it up, and therefore that's why the kinyan is going to be with Mashiach. But yes, something that's normal to lift up, then you're right, the kinyan cannot be with Mashiach. Now the Gemara now continues on the theme of the, which will relate back to the Braisa that we had mentioned previously. Rav Shmuel Damar Tavayu, they both say the following halacha. This relates back to the halacha of when is a kinyan concluded. So let's say someone tells the buyer, kur b'shloishim ani moichalach. I'm selling you a kur of, let's say, wheat for 30 ma'al, let's say a certain amount of money. Now, the significance of this is that the seller needed money. Now, he needed the exact amount of money, how much a kur of wheat is worth. Now, therefore, he did not intend to sell to the buyer, not less than a kur, not more than a kur, exactly a kur he wanted to sell, not more, not less, because that's how much money he needed. I don't need less, not going to help me, and I don't need more either, I don't want to sell more than that. So therefore, the significance of this is even if the buyer did the kinyan mashicha, and even if they already set a price, and even if it's in the domain of the lekeach, and it's in the kelim of lekeach, the halacha the Rav and Shmuel are both saying is that he has still not acquired it until they have measured out exactly a kur. Because here, unlike all the cases we've been saying up until now, the medida, the measuring, is ma'akim, is necessary for the kinyan to happen. Because since the seller was so particular that he doesn't want to sell not more and not more than a kur, and exactly a kur, So therefore, since the kinyan is only done when they measure out a korb, so yachal achzabai, so therefore, either party could back out of the entire sale, even if it was already measured out 29 out of the 30 saw, he could still back out, even by the last saw if that wasn't measured out yet, because as we said, the medida is ma'akiv in this situation. So as long as the last saw wasn't measured out yet, even if they already did meshicha on 29 out of the 30 saw, it's not a valid meshicha, because this kor, the whole kor, is one sale, one acquisition. And until he does meshich on the whole thing, he has not acquired, as similar as the Gemara says in Perakah Zav and Bab Metzia, the Mzayim and Aleph, where if someone, let's say, sells to someone else a donkey for his cow and his sheep, and he did meshich on the cow but not on the sheep, they could both still back out because it's not a valid meshich, because the sale was on both items, not on half. Now, moreover, our Mishnah that said if the buyer did meshich and did not do medida, he has been kaina, well, that's when he's selling to him one bundle as it is. So the measuring there is only just to reveal to us how much did he sell and how much does he owe him. But the actual kinyan is intrinsic, and therefore, as long as they did the kinyan meshicha and they know the price, then it's going to be a valid kinyan. There you don't need to have medida. Here the medida is necessary because it has to be exactly that amount. It's not just saying, okay, how much did it turn out to be? It's only this amount. And until it's all that amount, it's not a kinyan, therefore they can back out. Now, but say Rav and Shmuel, let's say he tells him, kur b'shloishim, I'll sell you a kur for 30, and sa b'sela ani moichlach, and I'll also sell you, not necessarily that amount, for every sa I'll charge you a sela. Oh, there, rishon kana. So in that case, so every single one you're acquiring as it comes, because each one is essentially its own sale. Where, for example, if let's say, must be talking about, as Rambam points out, that it's the measuring tool of the lekech, and it's in the simta, which we said that the kalev of the lekech is kaina in the simta, or it could even be in the reshus of the meicher, but it would be talking about, as we mentioned, where the seller tells him, I want you to be kaina in the kalev, even though it's my reshus, where that works. Now, the Gemara says Toshima, and Rashbam points out, since we asked so many questions from this brisa, we're not going to use mesebe, but really we're asking a question in Rama Shmuel from this brisa that we've mentioned already many times. The brisa said, which we said is four different midos regarding the halachas that come out regarding a sale, regarding when's the finalization of the sale. So the second category spoke about if the measuring cup is one of theirs, whether the seller or the buyer, so rishon kana, whoever it is, whether it be the seller or the buyer, let's say the buyer, so if it's his cup, so every single measuring, every single part that as it comes, he acquires that as it comes. So on that, as the Gemara on Rav and Shmuel, it sounds like va'avagav deloid nismala hamida, even though the measuring cup is not full yet. But why? Rav and Shmuel both said that here we have a guy who wants to sell him a certain amount. He's still pouring. If he didn't yet finish pouring, and it's going to fill up the measuring cup, so that's almost like the case of kor b'shloishim. So if it's like kor b'shloishim, so why are you saying he acquires each one as it comes, but you shouldn't be until it's done? Now, Rashbam points out that although seemingly that actually the Gemara should have asked from the first case of that brisa, which actually specifies this concept about if it's, the cup is filled up or not, and that Rashbam says no, from the first case over there we could have asked if that would be the proof against Rav and Shmuel, because there it says explicitly that until the measuring cup is filled up, it says that it belongs to the seller. Now, but in contrast, the second case that it talks about, which our Gemara is quoting, when it says if the measuring cup is one of theirs, there the brisa says we're not concerned if the measuring cup is filled up yet or not. Rather, every single bit as it comes into the keli of the lekech acquires it, even if it's only halfway of the measurement, which is still missing, and you don't know how much there is. And the reason why you don't know how much there is because it's not filled up yet, the whole measuring cup. And even so, the brisa tells us that they cannot back out because it's already acquired as it comes, even though he told him, I want to sell you a kur at one shot, or I'm selling you a saw at one shot. So therefore, for sure over here in this case, where it not like Rabbi Shmuel, where he says, I'm selling you a kur, and he measured full, he knows already 29 saw, where each measurement should have already been acquired as it filled up, and therefore it's difficult in Rav and Shmuel from this price, which it sounds like it doesn't make a difference if it's not full all the way, even though he plans on selling him that amount. So that sense says the Gemara, that actually, although yes, it's like the case of Kur B'Shloishim, but it's also like the next case, meaning that's only half the story, but it's also like the case of Rav and Shmuel where he says Kur B'Shloishim, but also So B'Sela. How is that? He's filling it up. It's not filled up all the way, and he wants to sell him the whole thing.
So the reason is because Kegoin de Amarle, it's like where he tells him, Hin Bishneim Aser, Slime, where I'm going to sell you a Hin, because we're talking about liquid, so that's why the Gemara is describing it like that, for 12 Slime, and Lug Bisela Nimaychlach. But I'm also going to sell you a smaller amount per rate of a Lug of liquid for a Sela. Now, how is that? Okay, the Amar Rav Kahana, like Rav Kahana said, that Shnos is Hoyu Behin. They had, in the Beis HaMikdash, they had these markings in the measuring cup up until this is the amount you need for a par when they would do the nesachim, the libations. Oh, up until here is the amount that you need for the aisle. Up until here is how much you need for the kevis. In other words, they would make these markings for the half a hin that's necessary for the cow, and for the third of the hin that's necessary for the ram, and the quarter of the hin that's necessary for the sheep, for the different measurements for the wine. Says the Gemara, Hachi nami shnosas ho yibimidus. That's the same case that we're discussing over here, where there were measuring marks in the measuring cup. So there were these 12 markings, which were like these things that stick out in the wall of the measuring cup to be as an indicator. So once the oil or the wine reaches whatever that point that's jutting out, so you know already that it's a lug. And since once it reaches that point, so that, as Rashbam calls it, is already nismala samida. It already fit that measurement. So it's literally like the other case of Rabbi Shmuel, and that's why it's not difficult on them, which is Kurbishloishim and Sa Besela. That's what I'm selling you, where each Sa is individually a sale. So to hear every single lug, it acquires, as they come, it's acquiring, because when it reaches one lug, two lugs, three lugs, as it goes along, each one is Nismal Sami, that's already a whole done deal. Now, whereas the first case that the Braisa there talks about regarding the differential between if it filled up or if it didn't fill up. Now, although there it's talking about just like in the case of the Sefer, which we're describing is when he tells him, I'm selling you a hin for 12 and each lug for a Sela, even so, we said over there that the Lekech will not acquire each one as it comes to that marker in the cup, but that's for a different reason. That's because we described that case as a measuring cup that doesn't belong to either one of the seller or the buyer, rather to a third party. And that person, we said, his intention is that when it's being measured and filled up, then his intention is to lend it out to the one who's doing the measuring, which is to the seller. It's only lent out to the lekech when it's totally full, as we had previously explained, where that was his intention, this one for the measuring, and this one, the buyer, to use it when it's already filled up, then it's for him to use it to be able to pour into his kelim or to his rishus, but that's why it's not difficult from that case. And regarding the element of the second case, which we said, as it comes, but why is it? Isn't like korlish leishim? It is, but it's also like sub besela, because each marker there tells you that you finished that amount, so that's why it's already considered done deal. And that's why it's not difficult in Rabbi Shmuel. That's why the halacha is as they come, it's finished, which is like Rabbi Shmuel said, where there each one is considered an individual unit, and that's why you'll acquire, as he said, Rishon Rishon Kan, you'll acquire each one as it comes.